fighting for America.
Good morning, Treasure Valley.
Well, the Valley Women and Children's Shelter has been open since the beginning of February now. We are in need of pretty much everything you use in your day-to-day life, times about 500.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, I just want to say thank you to you, First Miller, and the generous people of Treasure Valley for keeping the rescue mission lights on and helping us through the summer here.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. In English translation, that means I know the kind of man you are by the way you walk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Thank you all. I wish I would have dressed up.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Five eighty KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined by our great friend Nagmaid Abedini. Nagmaid, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So how have you been?
Not very good. It's been difficult, but doing better. It's been a roller coaster, as always.
Well, you were on Fox News yesterday. You shared that with your Facebook friends and family members. Can you tell us what that was about, and can you give us the latest, ma'am?
Yes, well, Saeed, my husband, was in the hospital because of beatings earlier. He'd been in the hospital for 2 months in the Iranian, in a hospital in Iran, and he was recovering. He was feeling much better, and then a few days ago, just unexpectedly, guards came and took him and beat him, and they beat him, and then they used some kind of a thing to, like a taser of some kind, and to make him collapse, and they took him, and he's doing much worse now than he was even doing before he went to the hospital.
That must be, I can't even describe that, Nagmaid.
Yeah, I think it was even more devastating to hear that than when I first that he was taken. When he was first taken, we were very hopeful. There was a lot of things to do, to still be done, a lot of countries to reach out to. And it's been 2 years of constant travel and constant advocacy. And then to see we're almost at ground zero again, or, he's even doing worse, is really hard. It really required a lot of people really, I was really devastated, really blinded, not knowing what's next and what does this mean. And a lot of people have encouraged me, and, you know, my faith has gotten me back up again. It was a blow that it was the hardest blow in the last 2 years. And, not being able to see what all these efforts, what does it mean? And where has all the efforts taken us? And, you know, what is our government doing? What is anyone doing? And why is he still there and beaten?
Nagmaid Abedini with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. You know, I was going to ask you, for folks that may not be familiar with your plight or that may not be familiar with the beginnings of this, I thought it would be a good time to go back and talk a little bit more about that. We'll do that in a minute, but can you take us inside the minds of the regime that hasn't? Because we in America, as you know, we always think logically, but can you really understand, can we understand the rationale for what they're doing to your husband?
I don't think we can, because we would, I think people here are shocked to know that someone choosing to have a different faith than the regime is a crime, and it's the worst crime. The Iranian government considers anything but their version of Shia Islam, anyone who believes differently, to be a criminal, and they consider that the worst crime, because in March, they had promised to release over 900 prisoners, and they chose to release common criminals, rapists and drug dealers and murderers, versus they did not even release one political prisoner, including a religious minority. So for them, religious minorities are the biggest threat to their country than even, you know, common criminals. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. And so they treat, and the other thing that makes it hard to understand the regime is their internal struggle with the moderates versus the radicals or the hardliners. And so Saeed stuck in the middle. There's something about him being a convert that really does not sit well with the hardliners. And so he's been in the middle of this and has gone through beatings, and you're trying to use him as a lesson to say you can't change your religion, you can't convert. And so he's been stuck inside this, a very radical country, and a country that's also unstable with its political climate with the hardliners and the moderates. And so it's just hard to understand that someone who just has a different religion is going through so much.
Well, and here's the other thing that a lot of people don't understand, Nag made at 580KIDO, is that he had their permission to be there. He was there under their protection, their sanction, if you will.
Exactly. You know, early on, a lot of people said, why did he go? He was, he had a heart for that country. He wanted to help the people. And the Iranian government encouraged him. It wasn't like he was going there secretly. He was going on his own. They said, come help us with human efforts. And we started an orphanage with their encouragement. There, they gave approvals. It's not like they were trying to stop us. We have the paperwork that to prove it, that they were just giving us approval. They were helping us move forward with doing this orphanage. All of a sudden, he traveled more than 10 times since 2009 until he was arrested in 2012. And he left in June, which is almost 2 years now, in a few weeks, and he never came back. And they decided to take him. They changed their strategy. The intelligence police was handling religious minorities, and all of a sudden it changed to Revolutionary Guards handling religious minority cases, and they're the more radicals. And so they just started arresting all the religious minorities and shutting down churches, and he got stuck in the middle of that.
Nag Mehdi Abedini with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. What have you been doing since we last spoke?
I think last time we spoke, I just returned from some trips in Europe where I've met with different government officials at the European Parliament and the Dutch Parliament. And so just talking to them, kind of advocating in terms of continuing to keep Iran accountable on human rights issues. And which a lot of governments are doing that, which I'm very thankful for. But since we last spoke, we kind of kept it quiet for a few months, hoping a lot of the previous efforts were going to bear fruit, not trying to really get Iran upset and just kind of keep low, which I think it doesn't work with Iran. But just we haven't really done a whole lot and really been out in the media a lot, hoping that a lot of the other efforts would bear fruit, but there hasn't been much movement. And so we're back. After they did that, we just got back on and going full force with the media and putting pressure on the Iranian government to release him.
580KIDO, Nag Mehdi Abedini with us. You know this country. You've dealt with them. Your husband, Pastor Saeed's family, gets to visit him, his father does. The media pressure, everything that you're talking about, what do you think is going to turn the tables, if you will?
Honestly, I think that's the one country, too, when you have a prisoner, you wouldn't know what to do. I mean, honestly, it's unknown. Iran is its own crazy country of their own. They have their own way. No one knows how they would respond to what. I mean, they seem to have responded to sanctions and has brought them on the table to negotiate regarding the nuclear talks, but that's even not really, no one's really sure if that's even going to bear fruit, those talks. So really, that's where I was at a few days ago. Now what, and what is going to bring Iran to release them. I do know previously continuous pressures has forced Iran to release prisoners, be it American prisoners or even internally where they had a pastor on death row. They released them finally after continuous pressure. It was 2 years of constant pressure from all over the world, from different countries. So I think pressure does work somehow, even though the Iranian regime makes it sound like it doesn't. So we need to continue to speak out. Our local government officials need to continue to press State Department and our government on this has been too long. He needs to come home now.
Well, I know it was refreshing when we had the governor on. He did speak out, and that was good.
It was. He had not been very vocal, and it was amazing that he did speak out on your show. So I was very encouraged by that, because it does make a difference. Each person speaking out does make a difference, and it does get back to our the State Department and our government and our president. And so I think each person continuing to remember Saeed, continuing to say this is an important issue. And you know what, Kevin, if people don't speak out, it will spread. We have another case in Sudan, another American citizen, his pregnant wife, and a 20-month-year-old in prison because she's a Christian. And she got hanged. She got sentenced to hanging as soon as she gives birth to her child. And so here's another case where the U.S. government's saying, well, we're concerned. Well, if we don't act, if our government doesn't make it clear to the rest of the world that this is an issue, that this can't be done to any citizen, better yet to American citizens, that they're being persecuted for what they believe, then we're going to see that more and more happening, of Americans being taken, persecuted because of their belief. And our government needs to make a serious, strong statement against this, or we will see more of this. So I think as American citizens, we need to make sure our government is speaking powerfully to the nation that this is not right. We protect religious freedom. This is an important value for our country.
Nagme, tell us a little bit about your husband's faith. We've heard from your faith, but when he said he was going to go over there, when the Iranian government said they were going to work with him, they wanted the help. I mean, you have a beautiful young family, a great life here. What were your concerns, and what did your husband say to you about his faith in God and doing this that allowed him to go there?
Well, if this happened at a time where we were least concerned, I guess, because he was working with the Iranian government, it was... when he left, it was a quick goodbye. It was not really a lot of worry because he'd been back so many times and he was supposed to be back a few weeks. But, you know, when we did discuss, he had a passion for, the Muslims, the people that are hurting him, even the hardliners. But he had a passion for, the Iranian people and people in general, but that's where he was born. And so his heart was to help these orphans. And our kids, every time he would go on a trip, our kids would run around the house, pick their favorite toys. They'd bring an old toy or an old clothes, and he'd be like, no, give your best. And so he'd open the suitcase, and they'd bring their best toys or the best clothes for these orphans and these kids. And so our whole family was involved with the whole process. We were excited to help these kids And so he had a heart. His faith really was the fuel for a lot of what he did, and he had a heart for these orphans. And it's unfortunate that now his kids have been without him for 2 years because his love for people.
Nagmeh, thank you. And, we can do this as much or as little as you want. I know you're very busy, and I know you have a life and you want to get your life back. So just so you know, we're with you in on the air and in our prayers.
Thank you. You have always been a great support and a great friend. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Nagmeh, God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Five eighty KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Senator Crapo. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. I wish you were out at the Walmart with us.
I understand you're doing some wonderful things out there, and I commend you for it.
Well, thank you. It's been a busy week. Let me hit you with the big one. Your thoughts on Bo Bergdahl, sir?
Well, I think everybody is glad that Bo has been released, but the details of the trade that was made have been very troubling. I personally have strong concerns about the fact that that five terrorists and rather high-ranking terrorists from Gitmo were released without notice to Congress, as was required. And there's a lot of concern being raised here in Washington about that fact.
Why do you think the public was kept in the dark concerning the details of his leaving his post? And really, Senator Crapo, do we really know the truth? There's a lot of things flying around in the media. Is there a rush to judgment here? Are you concerned about that?
Well, first of all, I don't know why the details of what we do know were kept from us. In fact, that's one of the questions that we are asking our military and intelligence leadership right now. I think that from what I know, and I have been in several very highly classified meetings, from what I know right now, there is some truth to what's out there. Some of it is not entirely accurate, and there are elements of the story that have not yet been revealed. And so I think that at this point, what we ought to do is to expect that there will be a Department of Justice, probably a Department of Defense and Army investigation into these circumstances, and that the facts will all be clearly identified, and a judgment will be made at that point as to whether any type of action needs to be taken.
Senator Crapo, we all know you as a person that is very brilliant at the government, the financial stuff, but you're a family man. You have care and compassion for your fellow man. What goes on in your mind as a person considering you fought for this soldier, you represented him, you met with his family, you'd hear Kevin Miller talk to you ad nauseum about Sergeant Bergdahl? What are your thoughts as a person on this? And, you know, we've got the Haley Parade being canceled. We've got everybody raining down on us here. Your thoughts as someone who wanted to make sure he was released?
Well, you know, this is a very bittersweet situation, the way it's playing out. I continue to be very, very happy that Bo Bergdahl has been released. I actually think that's not just good for his family and his friends and for Idaho, but I think it's good, frankly, for the country. He's our last remaining POW in this war, and it's good that he is released. On the other hand, as I said, the circumstances of this release, in my opinion, raise a real possibility that the security of either our troops in the theater or even the people of the United States could be put at risk because of it. And that has a great bearing. I mean, that's a key problem, whether we have incentivized further efforts to capture U.S. soldiers or U.S. citizens, and whether we have released men who will go back into the battlefield.
Senator Crapo is a proud member of the legislative branch of government. What about this deal? And would Richard Nixon be blushing right now as far as just saying, well, we really didn't want to follow the law? Are you concerned about this precedent being set by President Obama?
Oh, I'm very concerned about that. One of the things that is extremely clear here is that the president just flatly brushed off Congress in defiance of the law. The law required that he give 30 days notice. One thing's before anybody was released from Gitmo. And one of the things that the administration has said is, well, we didn't have 30 days. This came together so fast. Well, if they couldn't give 30 days, they could have given the notice they had. And they chose blatantly not to do that.
And again, will there be any ramifications?
Oh, I believe there will be. I can't really discuss in detail what was said in some of these classified meetings, but I can tell you that I know that from both sides of the aisle, there is extreme concern that the president just blatantly ignored the law. And frankly, there's a reason that Congress required that notice be given to Congress before any terrorists were released from Gitmo. And that reason is that Congress wanted to be able to weigh in on that decision because of the gravity of it if some of these highly dangerous terrorists were released.
Senator Crapo, let's move on to a couple other topics today. The 70th anniversary of the Normandy invasion. As an American, as a senator, your thoughts on those brave men who saved the world?
Well, you know, I think I share the same feelings that almost all Americans share on this day. As I think of the images that I've seen in the past of that effort to defend our freedoms and to protect and preserve America, as I have personally interviewed some of those who were involved in that day at Normandy, it literally brings tears to my eyes, tears of joy as well as sorrow, in terms of remembering the sacrifice that they made, so many made, and remembering the blessings that it has brought to this country. And so I can do more than simply once again offer my thanks to those who have literally put their life on the line and have given the greatest sacrifice for our freedom in this country.
Senator, final question, the VA scandal. I know you're protecting the veterans. Where do we go from here?
Well, fortunately, we've had a bit of a breakthrough in the Senate. You know, we're hopelessly gridlocked back here on almost every issue. But on this issue, we have been able to push forward and at least in principle get the agreement on a deal to move forward to address the issue. The Republicans had legislation that they thought was the right solution. The Democrats had legislation they thought was the right solution, and it looked like we were right back in gridlock. But just yesterday, we were able to get an agreement to move forward on a compromise bill that I think will move us significantly in the right direction. It'll put more resources in play, give more authorities to monitor and punish those who abuse their discretion and their authority in the administration of the system. And it will help us to start expanding options for our veterans by allowing those who can't get into a veterans facility to move outside the facility to get their health care on a timely basis.
Senator Crapo, we really appreciate you making time for us. Always appreciate your service. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. There you have it. Senator Mike Crapo with us. Kevin Miller in the morning.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett here at 580 KIDO.
Wow. You okay?
Proving that this segment is not taped. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. Welcome back to the studios.
I literally feel like I've just walked here from Walmart the way I'm out of breath.
Wow. Well, you ran down the hall, so that'll always get you.
Indeed. There are a lot of things to talk about. First, I'd like to say hi to Big Mike, who listens every day and said, Kevin, when are you going national? I said, Big Mike, thank you for the compliments. But look, if you and Dave, you and I have talked about this many times, if you can be the guy in the town, which is what we hope to aspire to be, that's good enough for us. And I think when you go national, you kind of lose something. Just like you lose something when you're in a bigger, bigger city. Yeah, you have more people to listen, but you have more, I don't want to say choices, but you have, I guess, for lack of a better term, other things to do, i.e. more choices.
Yeah, and by the way, it was good to meet Big Mike. You and I were having a big meeting out in the lobby of Walmart when the Big Mike came up to us, so it was good to meet him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I hit the button, I didn't hear you. Big Mike, though, at Walmart, great guy, a great event, and certainly we hope the Boise Rescue Mission does well.
Yep, that was a good time. Thank you to everybody who stopped by to see Kevin last week while he was out raising some money for the Women's and Children's Center for the Mission. It was a good week, and good to have you back in studio.
Well, it's good to be back. If I could figure out where all the buttons are, you'd think that I'd get in early just to kind of look everything over. But or it's a, you know, the fly run a stunt, a fly by the seat of your pants routine.
Oh, so you're getting all the switches put back in place. Is that the deal?
Somebody's been playing with my switches.
Well, you've had days and days to be away, so, you know, that allowed the mice to play.
Indeed. You know what? You and I were talking off the air about this. Let's bring it to the forefront. Number one, the Bo Bergdahl situation continues to evolve. We're learning images and stories of his captivity. But a lot of this is not new news, right?
You know, I was fascinated, and I told you this off-air beforehand. I was watching the Talking Head shows on Sunday morning, and they were talking about new details out how Bo Bergdahl evidently escaped and then was confined, and they told us in a cage afterwards. And I'm thinking, we already knew that. We knew that one not too long after it happened, because I think it happened and it was right around the time when they were negotiating it once again for his release. And then it's like it's supposed to be new news and they were all acting like they'd never heard it before.
You know, a cage, a kennel, you know what I'm talking about. It's all the same, but we are getting some type of sympathy story, sympathetic stories for Sergeant, or as he likes to be referred to, PFC Bergdahl, coming out, and that's the administration's response to the overwhelming negative stories coming out about Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah, and I have to go back to, you know, and I said this last week, and somebody told me, you're just copying, you're just afraid to take a stance. I'm going back to, I'm happy for his family. Let's let the military take their course and see what happens. That's kind of my stance on the thing, and I don't think it's a cop-out, because I don't know about you, Kevin, but I don't really know what happened that night.
Well, one thing I do know is that there was a pattern there, and, you know, as the military continues, or whoever continues to try and lay blame on Sergeant Bergdahl and everything else, the military does have a responsibility to its own. So he did wander off post in California. He did wander off post in Afghanistan. There was a pattern there that wasn't addressed by the people in the military. Of course, we haven't heard about that. We haven't heard that debated.
No, you know, and I can't even understand the rationale how you would wander off base in Afghanistan. I don't get that. Not once, but twice. Where are you going and what are you doing? That I don't know. And, you know, I'm thinking those are the questions that have to be answered.
Well, here's the other issue at 580KIDO, Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller. What also gets me is if you are in command and one of your troops comes up to you and says, hey, do you mind if I leave? Hey, do you mind if I say we'll be seeing you? That man is a troubled individual. So you just don't sit there and go, yeah, get out and leave your weapon and your night scope. You counsel them. You put them under observation.
You lock them up.
You make sure, gosh forbid, that they're okay. You don't sit there and go, just leave your stuff here. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, and that's, I'm assuming, what these interviews, what these, you know, what the questioning going on by the military of those involved, and that is what's happening. One would assume. Yeah, maybe it's dangerous to assume anything, but I would think.
Well, and again, I go back to, and it's funny, it hit me in church last night, the issue involving the Bergdahls, and I said, you know, it was very easy for all of us to sit there and stick up for them and such, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, where are the people sticking up for them right now? Everybody's pretty much in hiding. Everybody is pretty much afraid, and, you know, I was their friend before, and I'll be their friend now. I think a lot of the actions, Bill O'Reilly's comments, irresponsible to sit there and say, I know he's a Muslim. Well, Mr. O'Reilly, have you ever been to Idaho? Have you talked to the Bergdahls? No, you haven't. So, okay, you got the story by reading the paper. Good for you.
Well, I went back. I was reading some stuff online and started reading old articles about the Bergdahl family. And one from January this year, somebody who had gone up and interviewed and talked to the Bergdahls and, you know, had felt evidently every Sunday at the Presbyterian Church there in the Haley area, went to church. They said he was still a man of faith, believing in God, and that was part of the strength. And then suddenly, somewhere, he's become a super secret Muslim because of his beard, which, by the way, in the article, they also stated that he was growing in support of his son. They wouldn't shave it until his son was released. And the fact that they talked about why he was learning the native tongue of that area, and why he was doing that, but suddenly all of that's been, you know, all of that is, and I don't know, because I have not been there, I haven't talked to him, but all that's been twisted for evil.
And we do see that going on, so we'll have much more on the Bergdahl situation. It's just funny, a little inside baseball, my knobs aren't working, so I'm actually having to go here.
That would
here.
Be on the control board.
Yes, actually.
For those having any question about that.
For those keeping score at home. So, we also had the Triple Crown that didn't happen for California Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the owner of California Chrome saying everybody nananan is a cheater.
Big crybaby. Come on. Yeah. By the way, it's your headphone volume you're fighting with.
Yes. Apparently now I'm on another system. So.
You're on another system, or your headphone just not working? Well, you can hear me, so I guess it's working.
Well, yeah, because they're plugged into the table, not the board anymore. So.
Okay, that's all inside stuff that nobody wants to hear about.
Well, I'm glad that you care, though.
No, I do. Just trying to get all the pieces put back in place.
Yeah, so we've got that going on, California Chrome. We've got the Heat winning last night, I just find it impossible to root for them. They're a very good team. I just find it impossible to root for them.
Well, more so this year than last year. If LeBron James is hot, is good, then they'll win. If LeBron is not, they won't. It is becoming a one-man team.
Now, wait a minute. You played basketball, right?
A little bit.
Well, you played more than me, so that's... You had a career in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you played basketball. What does it say here at 580KIDO that you have LeBron James, who's doing so much, and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and everybody else not doing anything? If I'm Popovich, if I'm Pop, I just go, okay, LeBron, we're going to let you score all the points, and we're going to wear you down. We're not going to let you pass. We're going to put one-on-one, and we're going to make you score every point, and we're going to let you beat us alone. And going back to back to back now, I don't know if he could really maintain that intensity. I don't think anybody could. And then whoever is on James, I start running him through screens. I wear him down.
Well, I think part of the problem is it's difficult to do that. I don't think he can maintain every game, but that's why they play seven, and they probably figure, you know, give him a couple games off and let him just draw from within. He is that good a player. I mean, you know, whether you want to compare him to somebody or not, LeBron James is that good a player that it's difficult to say we'll just beat him by letting him go crazy. Because when he goes crazy, he beats teams.
True, but he's not getting any help anymore, and people have never committed. You remember when Kobe Bryant scored all those points that one game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was pretty much worthless after that for a while. I just think that if you go, okay, LeBron, you're the man. You're going to break the scoring record against us. Good luck, buddy. And see what happens. It's picking your poison as opposed to, and here's another one. Okay, LeBron, we're going to give you the, we're going to make you drive every time. We saw that in game one. Of course, the Heat was an issue where he got fatigued. But still, I think that he's 28, 29 now. I think he's starting to show some frailness. And the fact that he's had to carry the team because Dwayne Wade has been out.
Yeah, no, he's in his physical prime right now. 28 years old, he is in his physical prime right now. And what the Heat would need to win this series, they need somebody to step up in at least one of these other games to give him a break. If they can do that, they'll win it. If they don't, San Antonio will win it.
Well, and who are you going for?
I don't care. You know what? I like LeBron James.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But
a lot of character, that kid.
Yeah, I just don't, you know what, I don't have a dog in the fight. I really don't.
Well, you have to. It's the last big thing before college football and pro football.
Yeah, that's why I don't have a dog in the fight. We'll just wait.
Hmm.
We'll just wait for football. Watch a little baseball, wait for football. By the way, a local story of interest allegedly happened just up the Greenbelt from here. A woman yesterday claiming she was assaulted under the Broadway Bridge. Wow. After being questioned by the police. Yeah, not so much. She admitted, nope, made the story up.
Wow.
So if you were worried about the Greenbelt, about your safety, story made up.
I'm worried about it under the Broadway Bridge because, you know, sometimes I go there and hang out with my friends.
Well, that would be the first question. She said it happened at 2:30 in the morning. What are you doing under the Broadway Bridge at 2:30 in the morning? You know, that would be my first question asked of anyone.
Well, nothing good happens after 10 o'clock at night. I live by that. Charles Atlas used to say that.
Yeah, I would say by midnight, that is definitely true. Anything after midnight, not good.
Yeah, but you kind of like to go out and live a little.
Yeah.
You like to party.
I'm a midnight sort of guy.
Yeah.
But midnight's like, yeah, time to be in.
Well, anyway, so we've got that going on here at 580KIDO. Let's hear from Diane Feinstein. What do you want to hear, Diane Feinstein or the owner of California Chrome crying?
Let's see if we can make Diane do her thing.
All right, here we go. Not to be confused with Hillary Clinton that talked about Bo Bergdahl as well.
It's hard to be comfortable when you really haven't been briefed on the intricacies of carrying out this agreement.
So you have Diane Feinstein on Bergdahl. You have John Kerry on Bergdahl.
These guys pick a fight with us in the future or now or at any time. At enormous risk, and we have proven what we're capable of doing with Al-Qaeda, the core Al-Qaeda, in West Pakistan, Afghanistan.
And I'm just looking at this. This is amazing. You have Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, let's see, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Mike Murkowski, Mike Rogers, Obama, all on Bergdahl.
Hmm.
It's a lot of Bergdahl.
Yeah, Feinstein, that gets tough when one of your biggest supporters, as in the president, you know, Feinstein suddenly is going, what the heck? What are you doing?
Right.
Suddenly losing a little bit of his own support from within the troops. That's not good. And John Kerry, he was referencing the five going back in. If they try to pick a fight, they try to pick a fight, we'll be ready.
Okay. Well, did you see where they're living? Like, they have their own villas, each one of them.
Well, sure. Qatar's not going to do, you know, they're not going to lock them up. Those guys will be, they're as good as done now. I mean, they're as good as free now.
And the Taliban operates out of there. They have, an official office.
What I find interesting is, and nobody has asked the question that I'm aware of, what else did we get besides Bo Bergdahl? Did we get anything else?
Right.
What else did we get? We may have gotten more than just Bo Bergdahl.
Really?
I don't know. If you get a chance to talk to any of our lawmakers, ask them, did we get something else besides just Bo Bergdahl? Because oftentimes in these swaps and trades, there's other stuff that's given.
What, like a ham?
Yeah, like a gift ham.
Hmm.
But I doubt, coming from a Muslim country, they're giving you a gift ham. I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
But did we get anything else?
Hmm.
Nobody's asked that question that I'm aware of.
I see.
Just a thought.
A thought indeed.
Yeah, I'll let you get back to fixing your dials and knobs over there. Traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County and
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And it is 5:56, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, we'll find out the latest concerning just a story that hasn't been reported across the western United States. Believe it or not, there's an invasion of illegal aliens coming in, and they're all children. And what, one must sense that there's a big immigration bill about ready to happen. What does this mean to the cultural, to the sanity of the United States of America? When we're looking at this here, folks, think about this at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I don't know about you, but are you comfortable with the national media really dictating to you how one should feel about Sergeant Bergdahl and the President of the United States? So we'll get to those issues, plus the latest local stories as we give you your news, your weather, everything you need to know before you get to work, and your ability to sound off on it as we move along here this morning at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 5:57. Let's get you to work safely and on time. 5:58, Kevin Miller in the morning here. The latest on Hillary Clinton. Her new book is not number one in Amazon. It's number four. So apparently a lot of people may not be buying the latest incarnation of Hillary Clinton. Coming up, if you missed our interview on Friday with Governor Otter, we will share that with you. And the governor goes into detail about the state of the Republican Party. And as the convention gets ready to kick off this weekend, two things we want to tell you. One of the contributors to this program, in Eagle, will be opening up for Senator Paul. We want to thank Barry Peterson for that, chairman of the state Republican Party. And, you're representing us, so let's hope that you bring it home because you're representing the Millie Militia. And number two, just more on this Bo Bergdahl thing. There's a lot of people fired up about it. But in reality, does anybody really know what happened? And how fair is it to the family? A lot of issues going on. That's why we have issues with you each and every morning. You can always reach me on Twitter and on Facebook at 580KIDO. We're just getting started. Sit back, get rolling, get used to it. Fox News is next on your home.
Serving Marine.